from the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the Closing Market Report. It is the 27th day of 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. Happy anniversary to my lovely wife. 24 years ago today, in the drought of 1988, we married. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And then a bit later in the program, the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County will be along to look at the cash grain market. We'll talk with the guys up at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, looking down from the 23rd floor of the Boeing building about the weather forecast. And we'll hear the first of several stories about our Follow the Corn bus trip from last week. Let me first say that it was a boatload of fun, and the next time we go, you probably better sign up early. Follow the Corn. We'll have more a bit later during this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by Justin Wood and Paul Stevens of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123.
In Chicago on a Monday afternoon, futures finished the day mostly lower. The July soft red winter wheat for next year at $8.71, or rather next year the July contract in Kansas City finished at $8.49 and a quarter, down 2 3/4. The hard red in Kansas City at $8.71 and a quarter was up 4 cents for the day. Now back in Chicago, from the corn pit for the day, $7.95, down 7 1/4. December at $8.25, down 8 1/4. March corn at $8.01, 7 1/2 lower. In the May future, $7.95 1/4, down 6. July contract in the corn, $7.79 3/4, 6 lower. In September future, $6.78 1/2, down 2 1/4. December of 2013 at $6.47 1/2, up 3/4 cents. September soybeans, $17.32 1/2, a nickel lower on the afternoon. November beans at $17.17 for the new crop, 14 1/2 lower. January at $17.13 1/2, down 10 3/4. The March, $16.32, down 4 1/4. May contract, $15.39, down 5 1/2 cents. In July, $15.13 1/4, down 3 1/4 in the bean pit. August of next year at $14.73 1/4, down 6 1/2. In November, $13.22 1/4, down 1 1/4. Bean meal futures were down 9 1/2 cents. Bean oil off 1 penny on the day. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media at the University of Illinois. The Mercantile Exchange numbers finished up the live cattle at $118.40 in the August contract, down $1.47 1/2. October futures there at $123.47 1/2, 97 1/2 cents lower. August feeders at $140.27 1/2, down 22 1/2 cents. In September at $142.65. finished 30 cents lower. October lean hog, $73.25, up 87 1/2 cents for the day. Here's what the outside markets look like on the afternoon. October crude oil at $95.48, down 67 cents. Ethanol at $2.59, 1 1/10 lower. Natural gas at $2.65 1/2, down 4 7/10. And heating oil or diesel fuel at $3.10 9/10, just about unchanged on the day. Gold futures at $1,672.40 an ounce, up $2.60, in the U.S. dollar at 81.6. That's up 0.06 on the day. The weather forecast says that this afternoon in the Urbana-Champaign area, we'll see mostly sunny skies with a high near 85 degrees on the afternoon. Tonight, patchy fog after 4 a.m. Otherwise, mostly clear, low 59 on a north wind at 3 to 8. And then tomorrow, patchy fog will continue through 7 a.m. Otherwise, sunny skies, a high of 86 degrees on a north-northeast wind at about 5 to 7 miles an hour. And Tuesday night, mostly clear skies, a low 58, north-northeast winds at 6 miles an hour, becoming calm in the evening. Wednesday, sunny skies and 86. Wednesday night, clear and 60. Thursday, sunny and 86. Thursday night, mostly clear and 64. And Friday, sunny skies and 87. Friday night, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy and 68 degrees. And Saturday, chance of showers, partly sunny and 85. On Saturday evening, a slight chance of showers, partly cloudy and 67. And Sunday, mostly sunny skies and 85 degrees. More on the weather forecast when we get closer to the bottom of the half hour.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. On the phone line is Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, last week we were on our Follow the Corn bus tour. I'll tell you more about that a bit later. But our first stop a week ago today was in Mound City, and a couple of things of interest. We were at the CGB facility there in Mound City, which is on the Ohio River. There is an ADM facility right next door. Two sets of truck lines. Both were busy, but there were trucks lined up and around the corner and down the highway going into ADM. And that's because there was a 20-cent difference in the bid for the spot on that day on corn coming out of the boot heel. Tells us probably, since CGB belongs to Zen Now, and that one's a livestock cooperative out of Japan and only ships downstream for the most part, that corn might have been heading somewhere else, maybe a little closer to home here. What did you see in the last week beyond a change of anything in the marketplace that would reflect corn coming to the north?
Well, you picked a good week to be gone. Good thing you're not going down there this week.
Yeah, that's for sure.
You might be helping put sandbags up around some areas. I'm glad you made it back safe and had a good trip.
Yeah.
But basically, we're seeing spot bids being hot in some areas, like you mentioned there. That's the key to the producer needs to stay flexible to take advantage of these spot bids that are hot in some areas and not necessarily be locked in unless you want to be that way for some period of time. But basically, we got old crop being cleaned up, some new crop coming in. But the big thing is, as far as export market and so forth goes, there's continued concern or slowdown in export news. This morning's export inspections report came in below expectations on corn, signaling a slowdown there. World buyers are starting to look for cheaper sources, trying to resist paying the higher value, going the substitute feed wheat route. But that's going to be hard to go by, too, from the point that we used to go to the Black Sea or still go to the Black Sea area, but it's going to be hard to get wheat out of the Black Sea region due to a smaller crop in that region, too. So it's going to be a delicate balancing act here this winter. The buyers are going to go where the best buy is, where they could get the inventories they need to fulfill their needs here as we go into the calendar year 2013, Todd.
Have there been many reports of aflatoxin that you've heard at this time?
There's been a few here and a few there. The big news there, and I don't sell crop insurance, is that the trend is the knowledge of the aflatoxin needs to be discovered in the field before it gets in the truck or in the bin. Also, too, the idea is that if you put in the bin there, it's going to create some problems. So the trend is to find it out in the field or else take it to the elevator and see where you are there.
You mentioned that spot bids were pretty hot in some areas. Are those mostly located with ethanol plants, with heavy use end users like Decatur? Where are those hottest spot bids might be?
It varies from day to day. As far as the ethanol guys go, they've been taking some downtime here. They've kind of backed off, but they're going to be there for some time to come because when you look at the price of ethanol versus the gas, they can still blend that and still come out on that. The main areas where the best value for your dollar has been to the livestock guys, these poultry guys especially, getting some coverage on, there's talk of, upwards toward $9 being paid there last week for corn to get enough inventory to fulfill the livestock feed needs. That's where the urgency is. It's kind of hard to go without feed here until harvest gets full-blown here as we move down the road.
Well, let me ask you about this just a little bit and do some explanation along the way. When we talked to John Bondurant, his suggestion on Thursday of last week that the corn that was coming out of the Mid-South there near Memphis might not make its way into the export market and, quite frankly, because it was in pretty good condition, might make it to the southeast. I suppose that would maybe show up in the export numbers not being as good as maybe they could be because they were simply being outbid at this point. Would you suspect, if that were truly the case, that there might be a pickup in corn exports a bit later in the season?
Down the road, I believe so. You know, you look at Japan, for instance, one of our largest buyers, they're going to need corn down the road. And I think that business is longer term here. Just right now, the livestock sector and the rail freight that you movement around is going to move that grain around to where we need it, especially for the livestock first, then ethanol, then export. On corn, you got to remember corn is a smaller percentage on exports compared to production versus the beans, whereas the beans is a larger percentage of the export share of the demand side of the equation to the production number. So corn-wise, there's going to be a lot of internal logistics. I don't know if we'll push a whole lot of corn up the Mississippi versus down the Mississippi, but if you look at southern Illinois, Indiana, we're going to be deficit in those areas due to the much smaller crop.
Turn your attention to the soybeans and possibly to the corn as well. And then if you could talk about the impact of Isaac or potential impact of Isaac and whether the market was concerned about the closing of the ports in New Orleans.
Well, it brings back memories of Hurricane Katrina. You know, they're taking it serious. A lot of things have been shut down, and they're getting ready for the storm to approach. It just depends how much damage does occur, but I think the storm has been well known, well advertised, well priced into the marketplace, so we'll see what type of slowdown we have. But with the slowdown in exports in general, I think it's going to be kind of a non-factor, more of a conversational piece than anything. And now if the exports were full-blown in here and we had basis really screaming here and some of these countries being big buyers here lately, I could see a little bit more of a market maker. But right now, unless something tremendously goes wrong with this storm, next week it'll probably be history.
December corn at $8.81 and a quarter, and December corn at $8.75 and November beans at $17.18 and 3/4. Can you be bullish either of those markets?
Friendly, supportive. I don't know if we could go sharply higher, but looking at the big picture here, you know, we've priced in a lot of positive news, but it's not like we've been up and dry and get a 4th of July rain and everything's saved. I think the situation we're in is looking at the situation now is that we've got to keep prices firm to make sure we ration the small supplies we're going to have this coming year. So it suggests that corn could maybe move on up to this $8.50 area, and these beans maybe on up to $18 over time. So it's not that a big bull's in place, it's that the fact we got to stay firm to ration the supply we have.
Let's talk about wheat for just a bit, because there will be many in the southern part of the state of Illinois that will be looking to plant soft red winter wheat, I would think, in the coming month and a half or so, maybe a bit later than that. July now at $8.49 and a quarter, but there's not a lot of wheat in the marketplace around the globe, and there's been some problems in the northern hemisphere. If you were to advise a client that was going to put wheat into the ground, do they want to make the sale on the wheat market today, or because of the short corn crop, will they be looking at a higher wheat price next summer when they harvest based on potential feed usage needs?
Well, we feel we need to forward price some wheat. When you start looking at $8.50 to $9, that's profitable, especially in the south, and come back with some double crop beans behind that. As long as we get some moisture next spring and early next summer, so it's a very lucrative route to go for the guys in the southern part of the region. We feel wheat acres are going to be extremely high, and when you do analyze the wheat numbers, wheat is a commodity that has ample supplies as of right now to work with, so there's no real shortage we're not at historically short levels compared to like what we are with corn and beans. So if we go ahead and get the big acres and weather's cooperative, it's going to be awful hard for July wheat futures to go much above $9.
Thank you so much.
Very good. Take care.
Kirk Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Of course, you're listening to Illinois Public Media. This is the Closing Market Report. You can find us anytime you'd like on the World Wide Web at willag.org. That's willag.org. Or just dial this number up on your regular phone, 217-333-3434. We call that one our mobile analyst portal and update about 3:15 and 10:15 each and every business day with a bit of analysis and either the opening numbers or the closing market report numbers. That's 217-333-3434. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. Here's what I'm going to do about our Follow the Corn bus trip to New Orleans. I'm going to tell you five stories, one each day this week. Let's start with this one. Oh my gosh, did we have fun? The fun started 2 hours after we left Champaign on Monday, the 20th of August. I talked with Terry Dick in the days leading up to the trip, and he told me that the crew he was coming with, high school buddies from the class of 1972, well, that they were just a bit of fun, comedians too. He was right. He wanted to know if he could bring a cooler. I assured him I've had cold water on board, but I really don't think that's what he meant. The boys from Mount Vernon stepped on that bus and the whole place lightened up. That was the moment Follow the Corn changed from a trip, Terry Dick, to an adventure. Thanks, boys. We went on the road for about an hour after that, and we stopped at the 17th Street Bar and Grill in Marion. Now, if you haven't been to this barbecue joint, go. We were all in one room, and man, was it loud. And we didn't even know each other yet. I just put a bunch of farmers together, and they can always talk about the weather. So we made our first of two official stops just about 1 o'clock on Monday. John Sutton has that true Southern drawl and manages CGB's Mound City Rail and River Terminal. There was a lot of truck traffic, and he didn't want us to get out of the bus. I was a bit hesitant about that, but corn was coming in out of the boot heel of Missouri by the semi-load. Some of it was great, some stunk. It was the river that was the real problem. Now, he had the bus driver, Kevin Block, who also happens to be a farmer, drive us up onto the top of that levee so we could look down on the Ohio. There were sandbars right out there in the middle of the river. Last year at this time, that river was just 3 feet from the top of the levee. Now, I suspect you could have stood our bus on end and stacked two more on top of it from the river level in this drought year and still not been within 3 feet of topping the levee. Anyway, the Ohio is so low, it takes 3 weeks instead of 10 days to ship grain to New Orleans, and even then the tug can only push a tow of 12 barges rather than 36. That's three times the travel with just one-third of the cargo. Now, I asked John Sutton a couple of questions while he was on board our bus, and the farmers kept him busy on the mic answering questions for about 40 minutes. Let me correct that. I should say the farmers and their spouses. I'm pretty sure most of the married folks on board were power couples, each involved in the operation. I was looking at the photos, and there are an awful lot of intent faces in Mound City. That's the moment I knew we were not only going to have fun and be on an adventure, but that we were going to learn a lot, too. And boy, did we. And we spent the last half of Monday riding the rest of the way to Tunica. My dad was on board. Oh, thank you for that one. And he helped out a lot. He was the oldest person on board at age 86. I was one of the youngest at 48. I wanted to get to know everybody, all 53. So I asked Dad to take the mic and tell us how he started farming. He said that after serving in the Navy during World War II, he came back to the farm. His dad was a sharecropper, and sure, another depression was coming. Dad decided if he was going to farm, he wanted to own land. So he went to Williamsville State Bank. He was 22 then, and they made him an unsecured loan for 40 acres. His dad did not co-sign. I don't know that everybody told the story that first afternoon, but most people did, as a bunch of farm boys and girls traveled south to follow the corn. Oh, it was a great day.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at agrigoldgiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Time to check the cash grain market on a Monday afternoon. Greg Johnson is with us from the Andersons. Good afternoon to you, Greg.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, let's talk about the cash grain market just a bit. Over the last week, have you received much grain, either corn or soybeans?
No, no beans at all. We have had a little bit of corn come in, but most people are going to wait for that to dry down. Some of the early planted corn in March is down into the low 20s. But most of the corn that was planted in April is still in the upper 20s to even lower 30s. So I think next week we'll start to see enough corn get down below 20% in the for that March planted corn, and maybe even the lower 20s for the April planted corn. That I think next week producers are really planning on getting it going and hitting it hot and heavy. But this week it's just going to be kind of hit and miss.
There's not enough of a premium in the market for quick ship to make that corn come out of the field early?
No. There was probably about 3 to 4 weeks ago, but harvest has been taking place in southern Illinois and down in the south. So that that quick shipment premium has gone away in the corn. It's still there in the beans, but we're probably even further away. For the most part, I would say we're probably 3 weeks away on beans, before we see a steady stream of beans come in. There's a few fields that'll be ready next week, but by and large, we're still 3 to 4 weeks away on beans.
You watch this much more closely than I. I'm wondering, usually the southern harvest would go south rather than north, but it sounds like it's relieving pressure around Decatur and other places to the north this time around rather than the export market.
It is. Normally you would see basis levels maybe drop a little bit, but I think everybody realizes that with basically a half a crop that they better get it while they can. So even though we are in the midst of harvest, we really haven't seen basis levels break that much. In the beans, we will see old crop and new crop bean basis. I think there's a 60-cent premium for quick shipment beans. That eventually will go away, but with corn, there's very little premium there. And like I say, with a half a crop, I think people are just going to continue to have a strong basis level and try to buy what little's out there.
Speaking of premiums, we had a premium rainfall in the Champaign County area and across a large part, I think, of the growing region yesterday and into last night. Do you think it's helped much for the soybeans?
I think it's helped avoid a disaster. I mean, the corn crop is probably 60% of normal around here. I mean, we usually have 180 bushel corn, and now we're going to have 110, so that's about a 60% crop. With the beans, I think we can have an 80% crop. It's not anywhere close to a normal crop, but it's certainly not the disaster that we're experiencing in the corn. And that's an average. There's some areas that have had scattered rains throughout the growing season, and there will be some 55 to 60 bushel beans out there, but we can't go through all May, June, and July, I don't think, with as hot and dry as it was, and then 3 or 4 inches of rain in August, I don't think solves all our problems, but we'll certainly take it.
The Andersons here in Champaign County, I'm fairly certain, ships to the southeast. How urgent are the calls coming from the southeast for grain?
They want the trains. If you sell a train September 1 to 15, it'll probably show up September 1. In a normal year, they wouldn't show up till October 1. So I think that's a pretty good indication that that they want to get the corn down there as quick as they can.
And what are your bids for the day?
Old crop corn, 816. New crop corn, 821. Old crop beans, 769. New crop beans, $17.09, and next year's wheat is $8.24.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Greg Johnson. He's with the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. He joins us on the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon. In just a couple minutes, I'll be back, and we'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast.
It's the Feast of St. Monica, patron of homemakers and housewives. On this day in agricultural history in 1859, Colonel Edwin L. Drake drilled the first successful oil well in the U.S. near Titusville, Pennsylvania. The drilling hit oil at 69 feet 6 inches. When under the derrick floor was seen a dark film floating on the water. In 1874, Carl Bosch was born. A German industrial chemist, he directed the development of the industrial-scale processes for production of ammonia from atmospheric nitrogen. He eventually won the Nobel Prize for Chemistry for devising chemical high-pressure methods, like that which produced ammonia out of nitrogen and hydrogen gases. In 1879, Sir Rowland Hill died, an English educator. He was the inventor of the penny postage system, with the first adhesive postage stamp in 1840. In 1928, the Kellogg-Briand Pact was signed in Paris. It outlawed war and provided for the peaceful settlement of disputes. And in 1998, former U.S. Agriculture Secretary Mike Espy was charged with accepting more than $35,000 in gifts from companies that did business with USDA. He was eventually found innocent, but seven others were found guilty of similar charges. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
Leonard Seed Service supports agricultural programs as an additional service to its customers. Leonard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
It's Monday, the 27th day of August. I'm Todd Gleason. This is the Closing Market Report. On the phone line, Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Mark, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Let's start with Isaac making its way across Florida and now, I suppose, training sites somewhere on the Gulf Coast. Can you give us an update?
Yes. Current maximum sustained winds here, Todd, of Isaac are around 65 to 70 miles per hour. And in fact, over the past few hours, we've seen a drop of the pressure. And from satellite presentations here, it certainly looks like Isaac is beginning to strengthen and could be upgraded to a hurricane here on the new National Hurricane Center advisory, which will be issued in about an hour and a half from now, right around 4 o'clock Central. At least as far as the track is concerned, our forecast here calls for Isaac to make landfall in southeastern Louisiana later on tomorrow night or very early on Wednesday morning, potentially up to a Category 2 hurricane. And thus, as a result here, that southeastern portion of Louisiana and in and around New Orleans looks to be at least the most likely track and landfall point. But as is the case with any of these storms, well, with Isaac in particular, its impacts are felt along ways from the center of the storm. In fact, tropical storm force winds extend 240 miles from the center, and so because of that, we do see also a strong possibility of exceptionally high storm surge in areas of the Gulf Coast, particularly in southeastern Louisiana, Mississippi, and on into Alabama.
Will it have an impact on harvest weather in the Mid-South and Upper Midwest?
That is certainly the case in the Mid-South and Delta region, where we are forecasting 1 to 6 inches of rainfall with the remnants of the system. Heaviest amounts will be in the central and northern sections of the Delta region, particularly from far northern Louisiana and up through the Missouri Boot Heel. Longer term, at this time, it does look like the remnants will move into the Midwest region, impacting the southeastern, primarily the southeastern part of the Midwest. Included in that would be central southern Illinois, central southern Indiana. However, we do note that the latest European model, which just was issued about an hour from now, actually failed to track the remnants directly into the Midwest and kept the rains in the Delta and Southeast. So that is one risk to the forecast. And if we see that trend continue in the European model guidance, then that would begin to take rains from the Midwest later on this week via the remnants of the storm.
All right. And that would not be actually good news. They're probably still in need of quite a bit of rainfall to replenish soil moisture content, although they're headed into the harvest season, so it's a catch-22, I suppose.
Exactly, Todd.
Anything else we should talk about before I let you go?
Well, we continue to watch a dryness in eastern Australia, and that's our kind of headline of the day in the foreign sector that is beginning to impact their winter wheat as it goes through its critical time frame here of jointing and heading. So that is an area of concern as we end August and begin September.
Thanks so much, Mark.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy. He's in Chicago, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report for a Monday afternoon. You have a great day. I'm Todd Gleason.